In this weekend's episode, three segments from Saturday's Washington Journal. First, CQ Roll Call senior writer Paul Krawczyk discusses the latest on Congress's efforts to pass government funding bills before today's deadline. Then, Federal Times reporter Molly Weissner discusses how federal agencies are preparing for a potential government shutdown and how a shutdown would impact federal benefits and services. Plus, Bloomberg government Congress reporter Jack Fitzpatrick discusses the impact federal funding negotiations and a potential government shutdown could have on reauthorization bills.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
First, CQ Roll Call senior writer Paul Krawczyk discusses the latest on Congress's efforts to pass government funding bills before today's deadline.
All right, so tell us the latest. Yesterday, the House failed to pass a short-term funding bill. What are the options? Where is this going today?
Well, the House and Senate both come back in today. And the House may take up another stopgap spending bill. They may. We don't know. After the House defeated the continuing resolution on the floor yesterday, Speaker McCarthy and the Republican conference got together and talked, and they discussed a few different options. One would be a conservative stopgap spending measure similar to the one they defeated. Another would be a 1 or 2 week stopgap that would be what they call clean, meaning that it would not have additional provisions such as border security provisions attached to it. Another option would be taking up a Senate continuing resolution, which the Senate has not passed yet, but will be working on today.
So what are the chances of any of those getting through both the House and the Senate?
The chances of that happening before the government shuts down are virtually zero. The government today is the end of the fiscal year, and if a temporary spending bill is not passed by Congress and signed by the president, the government will shut down. Shutting down over the weekend is not really a big deal, but a shutdown would start on Monday.
And you mentioned that the Senate has their own version of a CR. How much Republican support does that have?
Well, the initial vote to move toward the FAA bill, which would be the vehicle for the CR, got a lot of support, 76-22. But since then, Republicans have raised concerns about this, and Republicans have been discussing amending this CR with border security measures. Some Republicans in the Senate are saying that they would like to try to take up a CR that could actually go somewhere in the House. But Republicans and Democrats were discussing sort of adding these border security measures yesterday, and they really are sort of stymied at this point. So it's not clear whether or not there will be an agreement to add border security provisions to the CR or make other changes to it.
Tell us a little bit more about the border security measures. What are they specifically looking for? What are Republicans looking for? And what is it that Democrats are not in agreement on with that?
Well, it's a combination of things. If you look at the CR that did not pass in the House, it would restrict asylum eligibility for migrants coming over the border. It would reinstate family detention. It would increase penalties for visa overstays. It would restart border wall construction and a number of other things. In the Senate, Republicans are talking about, one idea was to add about $6 billion in border security funding and also add some border security policies. But it's not really clear. The details of that are not really clear yet. And it's possible that Republicans will decide that they're not even going to attempt that.
So there were some spending bills that were passed in the House. Tell us about those. How many were passed, and what Republicans are, sorry, what the Senate was saying about those, and what those face in the Senate?
Well, so a couple of days ago, the House took up four spending bills: Department of Defense, Homeland Security, State Foreign Operations, and Agriculture. And actually passed three of the four. It did not pass agriculture. These bills have lower spending than the bills marked up by the Senate Appropriations Committee. They have a lot of different riders, anti-abortion riders, and other kinds of riders, policies that Democrats object to and that President Biden objects to. So there's a wide gulf between these House-passed appropriations bills and what the Senate Appropriations Committee has passed or has passed through the committee. The Senate has not yet passed any actual appropriations bills. The House now has passed. It passed military construction during the summer, and then three more this week. So the House has passed four appropriations bills so far.
And there have been rumors, Paul, about the Speaker losing his job and there being a motion to vacate. What are you hearing about that?
Well, so Congressman Matt Gaetz from Florida has been routinely threatening to bring up such a motion. And, you know, he even said he might bring it up very soon. Speaker McCarthy has sort of, you know, dismissed those threats. It's not really clear when it might be brought up, or what the result would be. But those threats continue.
And who would the lead contenders be for that job? I mean, has anybody expressed interest in that position?
No one has, as far as we know. When McCarthy first became speaker, that he went through 15 ballots because of Republican opposition, some Republicans' opposition to him. And there were various, Jim Jordan, for example, Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio was a favorite of some of the opponents of McCarthy. And Jordan said he wasn't interested in the job. A number of people have been mentioned as possibilities. Steve Scalise from Louisiana is one person who's been mentioned. Tom Emmer, the whip, has been mentioned. So some people have been mentioned, but it's not clear that anybody's interested in the job. It's also not clear whether anyone besides McCarthy would actually be able to get the votes to become speaker because, you know, these rebels, as they have been called, these Republican rebels, they may oppose McCarthy, some of them, and prefer somebody else. But there are a lot of moderate Republicans, for example, in the House, and they would not necessarily support whoever that choice would be of the rebels.
And finally, Paul, the question often comes up about members of Congress continuing to receive pay during a government shutdown. This is actually brought up by Nikki Haley during the last GOP debate. So where does that stand? And are members of Congress able to say, you know, as I believe Representative Nancy Mace has said, that she is going to, she won't accept pay? Is that a possibility?
I'm not sure how that would work. I mean, I think that, Several members have said that they do not want to collect pay, you know, during a shutdown, because you know, many government, I mean, most government employees would not be paid. Possible the military would be paid if Congress, you know, passes a bill to pay the military during the shutdown, but there would not be. I mean, congressional members, all of them would not lose their pay. Some are saying they don't want to collect their pay. Unclear how that would work out.
That was CQ Roll Call senior writer Paul Krawczak discussing the latest on Congress's efforts to pass government funding bills before today's deadline. Next, Federal Times reporter Molly Weissner discusses how federal agencies are preparing for a potential government shutdown and how a shutdown would impact federal benefits and services.
So let's just start with how many federal workers there are and how many could be affected by a shutdown.
Yeah, so there's roughly 2 million federal employees scattered across federal agencies in the government. And, you know, they're doing all different kinds of jobs, you know, from TSA workers to those working, you know, in DC headquarters offices. So all of them will be affected by a potential shutdown in some ways, not the same way. But this is a pretty large workforce we're talking about. And certainly that doesn't also include the untold number of contract workers who support them. And other folks that assist government operations every day.
And the 2 million also doesn't include the military, isn't that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, there are, of course, civilian workers in the Pentagon, for example, who are included in that, who support them. But, you know, certainly service members, you know, again, scattered across the country and the world really are likely to be impacted by this as well.
So we're really looking at somewhere around 3.5 million is the number I've seen in total, including the armed services.
Yes, it's a lot.
So during a shutdown, federal workers will either be furloughed, they'll be accepted, or they're exempted. So let's go through each of those, and if you could explain what that means.
Yeah, so I think for the average employee, you will generally fall into two buckets that in the past we've heard this term, you know, essential and non-essential throw around. I think employees and agencies have tried to, you know, come away from that term. And that's why we have the three different terms, because it's pretty clear that, you know, every employee's work is essential to government operations. So generally speaking, though, you know, if you're a Fed and you're wondering what happens to me come, you know, next week if we don't pass a budget by midnight tonight, you could be basically accepted from a shutdown or a furlough. And that means that your work is critical to national security, the protection of life and property. That's, I think, literally how the law states it. And again, think of your folks who are working in air traffic control, your federal law enforcement agents. Those folks would be generally required to keep working during a shutdown, but that doesn't mean that they'll be paid until a deal is reached. So that's one camp of folks. You know, the rest, those who work in research and development, for example, those who work in hiring, training, audits, a lot of administrative support functions, some contracting offices, those folks, again, depending on how their office is funded, may be more likely to be furloughed. And I think folks who have been through this before generally know that that's how it shakes out.
All right. And we'll just put on the screen the accepted categories so that people can see them. They are employees necessary to perform activities expressly authorized by law. They're employees necessary to perform activities necessarily implied by law, or necessary to discharge to the discharge of the president's constitutional duties and powers, and finally, to protect life and property. That's according to the Office of Personnel Management. So for those, Molly, that are furloughed and, of course, the paychecks stop, once hopefully the government does get funded and they go back to work, how long does it take for that back pay to come back?
Yeah, that is really the big question, and I think anyone's guess. You know, in years past, we've realized that, you know, even once a deal is reached, even once employees are officially called back, there is a lag time. You know, folks have to get back into their offices, you know, see where they left off. And certainly depending on how many furloughs we're looking at, if it's a very large number, you know, you can look at 2018, 2019, for example. All told, you know, those who were either furloughed or working without pay, that was, you know, in the 800,000 number. So if there's a lot of folks who are waiting on a paycheck, that's going to put a lot of pressure on agency offices to, you know, churn those out as fast as possible. You know, it's not an immediate pick up where we left off, you know, and just push these all through. Those folks are going to have to be subject to the resources that they've got at the time, and they're going to do the best that they can, but it's certainly not an immediate process.
And Molly, what are the options for furloughed employees? So if they're staying home, they're actually not allowed to go to work, even if they wanted to. Are they able to get unemployment benefits? Are they able to get another part-time job to make ends meet?
So the short answer is yes. You know, those in this area, you know, in DC and across the country are somewhat accustomed to having to prepare for, you know, a potential shutdown, you know, annually. And so there are a couple things that feds can look for as resources. So number one, unemployment insurance. The important thing to remember about that is each state has laws governing their own unemployment insurance programs. So I would encourage folks to brush up on that now. Maybe get familiar with, you know, what the specific eligibility requirements are for your state's program. You should be able to, you know, find that pretty readily available online. But generally speaking, you can also look to the Department of Labor, and they also have some general frequently asked questions and some resources available for folks. So I think that's a good place to start. You know, you just have to remember that what might be true for you, you know, may not be true for somebody else working in a different state. So in years past, municipalities and counties have also, you know, put out resources and web pages. Once I think a shutdown seems like it's going to happen, and certainly once it has happened. So again, you know, I would encourage folks to look at their, you know, local county, state government sites as well for further information on that. And certainly, you know, for applications for those insurance programs once they open. The other thing that folks can do, and, you know, not every Fed, I think, has, you know, of course, deep financial reserves to weather a shutdown, especially if it's weeks long. So a lot of credit unions that work with certainly military families, but also federal employees, there's a couple out there. They have some programs. They differ. Sometimes they can be a no cost or you know, low cost loan, or other kinds of programs that you can inquire about, because they recognize that, you know, they serve civil servants, and this is, you know, a relatively realistic threat, you know, every year. So the advice that a lot of financial advisors have given is just explain your situation where you can, whether that's to your credit union and see what's available, or even if that's to your utility company and you've got a bill coming. It never hurts to just be honest about what's going on and explain, you know, if you're in a no pay status. So it never hurts to ask, and it certainly never hurts to over communicate that.
That was Federal Times reporter Molly Weissner.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Next, Bloomberg Government Congress reporter Jack Fitzpatrick discusses the impact federal funding negotiations and a potential government shutdown could have on reauthorization bills.
So we've been talking a lot about, you know, the federal government potentially shutting down tonight at 12:01, but there are several other things set to expire tonight as well, including some reauthorization bills. Can you explain how the FAA and Farm Bill, specifically reauthorizations, are different from these annual appropriations and spending bills that Congress has been working to pass?
Yes, this is actually sort of an unusual circumstance because there are more expiring authorization measures than usual. The FAA bill and the Farm Bill are five-year bills, so their last deadline was 5 years ago. Every once in a while, when you get to September 30th, you will have a packaging of government funding along with some other authorization measures, but there are more issues at play right now. The FAA measure, the effect that it would have on the functioning of the FAA has to do with the amount of money that they could receive. The authorization for the FAA allows them to take fees from airlines, but without the authorization being at least extended, if not an actual full FAA authorization bill, then there would effectively be a tax holiday for airlines. And that money helps go to airport improvements and other costs that that play into public infrastructure in flight. So looking back to the last instance of a lapse in that authorization in 2011, the FAA lost out on about $30 million per day. It's fair to expect that that number would increase during a lapse at this point, given inflation. So there is a major question as to the revenues that go into the FAA and allow it to continue to function due to the authorization measure, in addition to the effects of a shutdown in which employees wouldn't be paid. As for the Farm Bill, which is also a five-year authorization, the biggest portion of that dollar for dollar is SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It's the country's biggest nutrition aid program. If the authorization runs out and there is a shutdown, the Secretary of Agriculture has said they do believe they could continue SNAP nutrition aid payments at least into October. But if it's a particularly long shutdown and lapse of the authorization, then they're not sure how long they would be able to continue funding SNAP beyond that. There are other Farm Bill measures that actually have a December 31st deadline. There are funds that go out based on harvest deadlines. Effectively, the first people to be affected if this were to run in, if this were to be an issue going into next calendar year, would be dairy farmers. But they have enough time so that there's an expectation on Capitol Hill that they can at least take care of that. So the first thing that would be affected due to the Farm Bill authorization that a lot of people would notice would be SNAP payments, though officials do think they can delay the effects of that at least well into October at this point.
Let's take each of those separately and go back to the FAA reauthorization. The Hill.com calls it a double whammy for the aviation industry as the shutdown looms. But what would that mean for travelers and people actually trying to fly in the midst of all of this?
The immediate noticeable effects would probably be due to a shutdown rather than the FAA authorization bill, given the fact that FAA employees would not be paid. Also, aside from the FAA, if you're going through airports, TSA employees would not be paid. There were issues during the last shutdown, 2018 into 2019, of a higher rate of people using sick leave and paid time off, given that they were not being paid for an extended period of time. So some of the morale issues and longer term recruiting issues could be have a noticeable effect due to employees not being paid. In addition to that, as for the functioning of the FAA, during a shutdown, they can continue to have people working for essential purposes, but they cannot spend money on, for example, training new employees. So if it were a shutdown that stretched on for a long period of time, that could kind of have a compounding effect. But it also, as for the authorization, again, if the FAA is simultaneously losing out on revenue that they would normally get from airlines, in addition to having those shutdown restrictions in place, it would lead to a greater lack of resources for the FAA overall than you would normally see during a shutdown.
This week, the Senate voted to move the reauthorization forward by tying it to the short-term spending deal. What happened with that?
Well, the Senate has been slowed down. They are still working on a bipartisan stopgap measure, but there are two reasons why it doesn't look like they can do anything in time for tonight's deadline. One is, as of right now, that stopgap funding measure has additional aid to Ukraine, and Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky opposes that and said he is not going to allow for unanimous consent to skip any of the many procedural steps that tend to move slowly that the Senate has to take in order to pass a bill. So it could be at least Sunday, probably more like early next week before the Senate can actually hold a vote on this. And second, they are still negotiating possible border security and immigration measures that Senate Republicans want to attach to that stopgap. So until there's a deal there, they can't move forward on votes on an amendment to tweak that. So the Senate tends to move slowly, and this is a good example of that. But that is currently in the Senate proposal, which is the most bipartisan proposal we've seen to fund the government. There are side discussions about a quote-unquote clean continuing resolution. If it's truly clean, it is fair to assume it would not have authorization measures, not that the FAA authorization measure is a particularly controversial one. So it's a little bit up in the air, and even though the Senate is still moving forward on that, they are moving too slowly to avert a shutdown and a lapse in those authorizations.
With the farm bill, can you talk about that authorization and, you know, the current status and what are the sticking points there?
Well, the farm bill has moved pretty slowly, and that's traditional in Congress. It's been decades since they managed to actually complete work on a farm bill in an even-numbered year like they're supposed to. The last one was really the 2018 farm bill, but they didn't finish until 2019. And for months, lawmakers in agriculture policy who are working on that have said they do not expect to finish work on a full farm bill until maybe early next year. Sometimes there are discussions about giving themselves a one-year authorization for more time to work on that. But it really, a lot of the time when you have a lapsed authorization in Congress that aligns with a shutdown deadline, you would see that being tied to the length of a funding stopgap. So some of the dates we've heard for anything that Congress is going to address is maybe a 45-day stopgap, maybe something to November 17th was mentioned as the next deadline, and the farm bill potentially could be tied into that. That is also a bit up in the air as to how many authorizations they are going to tie to a stopgap funding measure. But it was not a surprise that they didn't have a full actual five-year farm bill ready to go at this point. It's really just that if they were going to give themselves more time and make sure that SNAP payments were totally taken care of, they needed to give themselves an extension of some period of time. So that is, as with the FAA authorization measure, a little bit up in the air as to whether there is going to be support to tie that to the funding stopgap and take care of this in one single vote, and also how long it would go before there's another deadline for the farm bill to be reauthorized.
Speaking of additional deadlines, I'm looking at this article here from NBC News that the government shutdown is also poised to halt the federal flood insurance program, which has an authorization that expires around the same time. Can you talk about that one?
Yes, that's another authorization measure. In some years, you could imagine a circumstance in which the flood insurance program is unaffected even during a shutdown if they were to reauthorize that. It's a technically separate issue from government discretionary funding, but it also has that September 30th today deadline. So if Congress does not reauthorize that, or at least provide a small extension of its authorization, the noticeable effect would be that there would be a blockage of home buyers' ability when they're closing on a home in a flood risk area to get the required flood insurance. There's been an estimate from a home buyers, home builders, National Association of Home Builders, that there would be about 1,300 property closing delays per day if there is a lapse in the authorization for the National Flood Insurance Program. So that would be the noticeable effect if anybody's looking to buy a home and it's in an area where the flood insurance is required. There would likely be a holdup in your ability to close on the home if that authorization is not extended in time by tonight's deadline.
That was Bloomberg Government Congress reporter Jack Fitzpatrick discussing the impact federal funding negotiations and a potential government shutdown could have on reauthorization bills. Hear more interviews from C-SPAN's Washington Journal program on our website at c-span.org, on the C-SPAN Now app, or on C-SPAN Television, live every morning from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time.